We've been searching to understand God's will for my life. That's been the title of the whole series, Knowing God's Will for My Life. And you know, sometimes even in the process of searching God's will, we can become very self-centered. Even in that, we become very self-centered. God, what is it you have for me? What is it that I can do? What is it that I can have? What is it that I can accomplish? What is it that I'm going to be remembered by? You know, I have the opportunity to do several funerals, and you know, I remember in an illustration that I had seen one time is that on a tombstone you'll see a date they were born, and you'll see a date that they had died, and then there's a little bitty dash right in the middle. Do you realize that little bitty dash represents our entire life? You look on a grave, you know, a headstone, you think, that's really insignificant to everything that's put on that headstone. And you know, in reality, is that you and I, in the scheme of things, sometimes our life can be very small and insignificant compared to eternity. But we find significance in the one that we worship. We find significance in the one that we serve. We find significance in the one who's created us when we fulfill his eternal purpose. Amen? That's where our significance comes in at. You know, I can remember as a young person, as a high school, I was trying to figure out, you know, you're always going through that stage. What are you going to be? What are you going to do? What are you going to be when you grow up? Well, I still haven't figured out what I'm going to be when I grow up, but I figured out that it come to find out is that I was called to the ministry. And I was kind of juggling that around, and it's like, well, you know, I kind of want to do this. I want to do that. And then finally, when I hit a certain age, the Lord's like, yes, this is what you're going to do. When I was about 18 years old, it finally started becoming very real. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, I've seen preachers. I've watched it. I don't know if I want to do that. I'm not good enough at that. There's a whole lot of other guys you should call. Well, he wasn't going to let me go. Well, finally, I surrendered to that, and I realized that's exactly what he wanted me to do. So we stop and think that, well, everybody else is thinking, well, I wasn't called to the ministry. If you're a child of God, yes, you are. You have a ministry to share. You have a message to share. And we've covered that, I know. We've covered that. I just remind you, knowing, living, and sharing Christ. That's not just a catchy little phrase that I come up with. It's biblical, right? That's what we're to be doing in our personal lives, is what we're to be doing as a church. Well, today, we're trying to find what is that significance. Where is it? Well, where is it that we're drawing our inspiration from? Who is it that we're drawing it from? Which is very important, isn't it? Did you ever find yourself as you go through life? And as a kid, I thought, man, my friends, in fact, I still have many of them today. Man, they mean a great deal to me. But I remember a day that God was stabbing my heart. My friends were standing around and said, we want to make an agreement. I was getting married. I was the first one that got married out of my group of friends, and they said, let's make an agreement that no matter what, if I call you, you'll be there. No matter what. And I'm thinking, man, they're going into life in this area, and my other friend was going into life in this area, and I'm going to life, and I'm like, guys, I'm coming to the realization is that as high school buddies, yeah, I threw everything down, and I'm there for you. I want you to know I love you, but wherever God puts me, I want to be there for you, but I got to do what he wants me to do first. One of my friends was upset about that. He didn't like that. But my other friend, he later got a calling to the ministry too, and he understood where I was coming from. But you know what's exciting though? Is that God's given me a chance to get back with those friends again now that I'm older, and we're just as close as we've ever. We still get together and act like kids, you know, because that's what we relate to. But you know, it's just exciting that God has worked that way, that he allowed life for us to come back together again. Though we couldn't control so many things in our life, but yet we still have us, we're still friends. Who is it that we're inspiring? What is it that we're drawing that inspiration from? You know, as kids you think, well, whatever my friends have, that's everything. And you know, you have that dedication. But then all of a sudden life happens. You go to college, you get a family, you have kids, and you realize, I'm no longer in control of everything and all the aspects of my life, right? Inspiration becomes to come from different places. You know, when I was raising kids, it's like, I'm still amazed today that my kids survived the lack of parenting skills that I had. But it's amazing that they become good parents themselves, and I'm proud of them. But you know what? I love my kids. But I'm telling you, I really love them grandbabies. It's a lot of fun. Oh my goodness. Feed them sugar, load them up on Mountain Dew and candy, and hey, you need to go home. Oh, isn't that the greatest thing ever? Why didn't we start with grandkids? You know, why is that? Well, I understand. You know what I'm saying. We draw inspiration from them now. They don't know it, but that little one's got grandpa, papa wrapped, you know. All of them do. All them grandbabies do. They don't realize what an impact. We draw inspiration from different places. So the title of the message today is Knowing God's Will Through His Wisdom. There's a lot of things in life that we think is the absolute most important thing. There's a lot of things that have influences on our life, and we think that that is what's gearing, guiding, and directing me in understanding my will and my purpose for this life. When in reality, the one who created you, the one who made you, the one who by every second of his thought sustains you. We understand that in scriptures that if God would turn away from us for a moment, that everything would cease. Gravity would stop. Oxygen would not be produced. Our blood would stop. Our hearts would stop. Everything within us would stop. But because of his thought but toward you and me, he sustains us. That's the one who gives us purpose. That's the one who gives us meaning. That's the one who gives us substance for what we're living here today. Now, you know, in a sense, in the life, in the world and culture we live in today, exactly what I said, many would tell you that I'm very narrow-minded. I'm very simple. They would be true in that. That I'm very closed-minded to many things. I'm telling you, I've lived about 52 years, and there's still a whole lot more for to me experience. Can you elders agree? There's a whole lot more yet for me to learn. But I've learned enough that when God said that this world has nothing to offer, he was right. There's a lot of things I would have almost died for. And then I realized, that was really dumb. They really didn't know what they were talking about. They were passionate about it. They were exciting. They really didn't know it. But Jesus does and still does. Amen? So I want you to know, when I preach this message today, I'm coming from a very narrow view. I'm coming from a very simple aspect. But have you ever wondered why it is that Jesus, when he came and he preached in his ministry, that his ministry was so simple that even children could understand? Even people that couldn't read could understand? Even people that weren't educated were saved and healed and changed and transformed and become disciples of Christ and were known as part of those disciples that turned the world upside down? They were very narrow-minded people in that time of Rome. They were very simple people, according to their culture. In fact, they were looked down upon most of the culture of that day. But they were sold out to the Lord Jesus, and they made an impact that changed our history, changed our calendar, changed us as a culture, and now has given us the Lord's church that we live in and serve in, and people died and gave their lives for the simple truths of who Jesus is. I'm going to ask you again, who are you inspiring today? Are you just out to inspire yourself, your friends, a movement, a group, whatever it may be? Or are you looking to inspire the one who made you and sent you, and more than that, give you the life that you're living? Are you out to glorify him, please him, honor him? The only way that you can do that is by his wisdom, through his wisdom. Let's review what we've seen in our messages in the past. First of all, we talked about knowing God's will for my life. Romans 8:28 tells us those who are called according to his purpose. It's his purpose. Are you trusting God's plan for your life? Are you submitting to his plan, even when you don't see him working in the background? God is still guiding you and me to his eternal, preordained destination. Secondly, we talked about some things are off limits. We kind of squirm at that, don't we? Lord, if I'm going through this, I'm suffering, I want to know why. Are you with me? But we have to, in order for us to understand the will of God for our lives, we must accept his authority over our lives. Some things are too wonderful for us to understand, but God has made it possible for us to understand his heart. I love that, don't you? I don't always get it. I don't always know why. There's a lot of times I've stood by caskets. There's a lot of times I stood by hospital beds and said, God, I really just don't get this. And in all honesty, I don't like this, but help me understand. And you know, he did. He did. Number three, God's will for our lives is found in His Word. We can search the Bible for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. You remember, did you write those down? Doctrine tells us what is right. Reproof is what is wrong. Correction is how to get right. And instruction is how to stay right. There you go. Wow, I pulled that from memory. That's dangerous. But you helped me out. Today we're going to talk about God's will is found in His wisdom. The knowledge of God's will increases with the practice of God's will in your life. Some of you may be thinking that, well, why is it that we're talking about His wisdom right after we talked about His Word? Aren't they kind of in the same? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But today I want to talk about us acting upon that wisdom. And I'm going to go through it very quick. 1 Peter. Now I'm going to have to look again and make sure I'm in the right place. I was having a little trouble with that in Sunday school class. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 11. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. To virtue knowledge, to giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, to self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the eternal lasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the Spirit that guides us in your word. Jesus, give us life. Give us direction. Give us understanding that we may serve you, we may live in your wisdom, and grow in the wisdom of you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we talk about God's wisdom, we're not talking about just random thoughts and understanding of who God is. We're not talking just about a head knowledge of who God is. But now we're talking about the actual application of living in that wisdom and that living taking over our lives. That wisdom shaping our lives. It's shaping our speech. It's shaping our attitudes. But more than that, it's guiding us along that we may be partakers of the divine nature. I want us to look at the sufficiency that we have in Christ. In verses 2 through 4, he talks about the grace and the peace that is multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Do you realize all that has been given to us since we have come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior? Do you know that all that is provided to you? Here's the exciting thing. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now I want you to think about that. Life is not just simply that, well, okay, I live and I go to work. And, you know, have you ever seen the redundancy of life? It can be very redundant, doesn't it? We get up, we do the same routine, we do the same thing. We go to work, we do the same thing. We go home, we do the same thing. And we begin to think, where is the purpose in all of these things? This life here is not talking about the redundancy, the monotony of life, but life is meaning an abundance, a fullness, a vigorous life, both inside in our character and out. So we're not talking about a calling to a mundane existence, but it's a calling to life as we desire it to be. We hunger for it to be, and we are taken to places that we never thought was possible. This is the life that is available to us through the divine power of God. He has, by His divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life, and what else? Say it out loud. Godliness. Thank you. See, I told you, I'm going to get you involved in just a minute. Godliness, what does godliness mean? Means a respect, a piety, a reverence toward God, or in general, holiness. Why is a church that we strive so hard to live for God outside of His wisdom, outside of His direction, outside of His definition, outside of His doctrine, outside of His correction, outside of His reproof, outside of His instruction for righteousness? Why are we trying to do this on our own? Folks, that's why we find so many times that we find discouragement, we find failure, we find confusion, because we're trying to do it without His divine power, which has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But not only has He given us life and godliness and the power to live that and to live that out, He also gives us exceedingly great and precious promises. Have you ever seen so many descriptives of His Word? It's not just the Word, but it's exceeding. It's exceedingly above and beyond all that you can think of. It's not just above and beyond, but it's great. There's a power behind it. And then not only is it powerful, not only is it exceedingly, but it's also precious. It's personal. It hits the mark every time. It hits right where we are every time. Why? Because it's not just some great, big, powerful thing that's going to explode and blow everything away around me, but yet it's directed into our lives so that it will have its impact. It will have its mark. It will leave its mark, but then He allows us to leave our mark. Amen? Who is it that you're inspiring today? Maybe thinking, well, I don't know. I didn't think about it. The reality is you are, whether you realize it or not. By the things that you say, the way that you say them, the way that you live and how you live, the way you leave the house, the way you come back to the house, how you keep your yard, how you tend to your neighbors, how that you don't tend to your neighbors, how you handle your dog in the front yard, how you throw the paper to the front porch. You're inspiring someone in some way. And God gives us all that we need to do so in a way that we live an exuberant life, an exciting life, and more than that, a life in godliness, by the promises. And all of this has been given to us. These precious promises are given to us that through these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature. God has given us an opportunity to live like Christ that we never had before. He reminds us as we focus on our destination, God is more concerned with the journey that we will follow in a relationship and fellowship with Him, living like Christ, but more than that, living for Christ. Folks, there's only one source that we can gain the understanding, the joy, the energy, the excitement. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of the just and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. It just about solves every personal, social, and cultural problem that we have today in that one verse, doesn't it? So why aren't we seeing it? Are we seeing it? Those who are living out the wisdom of God and sold out to the wisdom of God are living that message. So how do I grow in my faith? Verses 5 through 9, he gives us a great deal of detail, and I'm going to brush through that quickly. There's a lot of words here that if you ever do a word study, these are excellent. He tells us that for this reason, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith. That diligence means an earnestness or haste, a speed, forwardness. This is something that folks, as God's people, we should be working on these realities and growth in our spiritual lives on a regular basis. It's so much easier to put it in cruise control and just let the the car do the driving for you, don't you? I mean, we're getting to the point now that some cars can drive themselves. Yeah, we're getting close. That's a transition I'm not so sure I'm going to be real wild about. You know, I would imagine probably one day my kids are going to be saying, "Dad, you're so old-fashioned. You could do your driving yourself." I'm not so sure I want to let go of the wheel, you know? Now, I might sing that song, "Jesus, Take the Wheel," but I'm not so sure I'm willing to let Google take the wheel. Are you with me? But when we see that we work in diligence, we're allowing God to guide us and move us forward. Well, how do we move forward? We grow in these godly characteristics. Virtue, which is moral goodness. It's valor. It's where we get the word. We talk about those that are valor, of great moral integrity. To the virtue, we add knowledge, just simply an intelligence, understanding is a right living, moral wisdom. We add to our knowledge self-control. I think we know where that's going, don't we? We're controlling our passions, our sensual appetites. We're able to control our desires. Then we add to self-control perseverance. We're joyful or hopeful, even enduring difficulties. We're steadfast, loyal to the faith. Oh, Lord, do we not need those today? We add to perseverance, godliness. We touched on that already. We add to the godliness, brotherly kindness. Oh, desperately we need that. And to brotherly kindness, love. We're talking about the agape love, the sacrificial love that Jesus demonstrated for us. But look at what he says of the results of these. This is something that we all desire. We all strive for. The results of all of this growth. He says in verse 8, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, if you submit to my wisdom, you allow the wisdom to grow in you, adding and adding and adding, you're going to be fruitful. But it only happens in his wisdom, his understanding, and giving an abandonment to all others for him and only him. There has to be a decision. There has to be a choice that is made whether or not to follow the Savior who has saved you and given you life. Sometimes we withdraw on that. And I think I've got better ways. I think I've got better ideas. And then we live a life and we come to realize that wasn't the right way. But you can grow in these things. And then verse 9, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Spiritual amnesia in the life of a believer is a terrible result. I know many of you share with the same difficulties. As we age, we forget, don't we? Now, I know that our minds decline over time. But here, in our defense, I think that we forget because we have more to forget. That's my opinion. Young people, they don't forget. They don't have as much to forget as we do, right? We've lived longer. We've had a lot of things going on. We forget more because we had more to forget. That's my opinion. I don't think we're declining. Now, I'm not a doctor, so don't. I have no medication to support that, so to help you in that. But when we talk about forgetting what God has done for us, what happens? We lose vision. We lose purpose. We forget our mission. The mic is still ringing in my head that you shared with us in Men's Forge. We're not mission-minded. We've forgotten who we are. More than that, we've forgotten who we've been called by. We forget the power. We forget the abilities. We walk away. We fail to move forward onto the blessings that God has for us. The changes that can be made that we refuse to make. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10. Abraham was a great example of this. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going." He must not have had Google Maps. "By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham was called in a time that most people would be retiring and setting up for retirement and finding a beach home somewhere. God called him to leave his family. Most of the time, we're moving closer to family. So here's God's message that we heard in the Old Testament. God tells Abraham, he says, "Now, I want you to go, but I'm not telling you where you're going." And what I have to do is, when you get there, I'm going to give you a blessing. And so God says, well, in your elder years, you're going to leave home, leave your family and your friends. There will be fighting between you and your nephew Lot. Lot will end up in a wicked city and nearly die with that city. And you will bear a child with your handmaiden and have a child that I did not choose. It is going to cause you problems in your home and your marriage. Then I'll take you to the end of your childbearing age, and then I'll give you a son. And after I give you that son, I'm going to require you to go up on a mountain and give him back to me by sacrificing him. How many people want to volunteer for that? That sounds real promising, doesn't it? But see, God's wisdom was much greater than what Abraham could see. So Abraham followed him by faith. And he did. And what was the result? We read that he followed him by faith, not knowing where he was going, but by faith he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham wasn't looking for the promised land on the earth. He was looking for the promised land in heaven. Amen? That's where his heart was. Why? By God's wisdom and direction and instruction. He learned that it's not here that my promise is. And in fact, Abraham died not seeing the full fulfillment of that promise. But yet it happened. It was by God's wisdom that this come about. My last point. Do you have confidence in your calling? Are you strong and a stable Christian today? In verse 10 and 11, he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make sure, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I'm afraid we're in a place that many people claim the title of Christianity, but do not have the assurance, the confidence, the spiritual bolstering that the Spirit of God gives to those who truly know Him. As Brother Mike shared with us about the Daniel and the Hebrew men that stood in that fiery furnace, folks, you don't find that kind of dedication based upon following Christ by word of mouth. Amen? You don't find that courage to give your life and stand in the face of resistance, not only just on a personal level, but on a national level, and find the courage to stand true and leave a mark without following God's wisdom and understanding it. You know what? These men didn't stand there based upon a vacuum, not knowing what God could do. They had already tested God over and over and seen that He was true, seen that He was faithful. Why? They were growing in these characteristics. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, brotherly kindness, love. They were growing in these things. They were exercising what God had given them to do. And folks, if we're not exercising in God's wisdom, then we're not going to grow and thrive and flourish in His wisdom. Amen? If we talk about Him in theory, we talk about Him in Sunday school in theory, and we don't go out here and put it in practice and make it a reality in our lives and ask Him and beg Him to make it a reality in our lives, then what do we have to offer? What makes us any different than a local social group? If we can't get out here and love above and beyond what everyone else is, then what example do we have to put forth? What mark are we going to leave? We find His will and His wisdom, and we find that in His wisdom by exercising His wisdom in our lives. How great is His faithfulness? We've seen our faithfulness go up and down, haven't we? And it'll continue that way. We're human. We have struggles. We have weak points. But glory be to God, He does not. He has no place of weakness. Failure is not in His vocabulary. That's hard for us to relate to, isn't it? He will never fail us. He will never mislead us. He will guide us into all understanding.